Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster of Spring 2020. This is a little quarterly that can be sent to your house if you just contact these folks at chapel@mountzion.org. Tell them that you'd like this Free Grace Broadcaster sent to your home every quarter. There'll be a different subject each time. This time the subject of this quarterly is Redeem the Time. Very helpful, I think, for us in this time. Today we're reading the words of Richard Baxter, an Anglican Puritan preacher who lived from 1615 to 1691, but his words make sense still today. Time being man's opportunity for all those works for which he liveth, in which his Creator doth expect from him, and on which his endless life dependeth, the redeeming or well improving of it must necessarily be of most high importance to him. Therefore it is well made by holy Paul the great mark to distinguish the wise from the fools. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, Ephesians 5:15-16. I shall therefore give you special attention for it when I have first opened the nature of the duty to you and told you what is meant by time and what is meant by redeeming it. Time, in its most common acceptation, is taken generally for all that space of this present life which is our opportunity for all the works of life and the measure of them. Time is often taken more strictly for some special opportunity that is fitted to a special work, which we call the season or the fittest time. In both these senses, time must be redeemed. As every work hath its season that must be taken, so have the greatest works assigned us for God and our souls some special seasons besides our common time. First, sometimes God hath fitted by nature for his service the time of youth, the time of health and strength are especially fit for holy work. Second, some time is made specially fit by God's institution, such as the Lord's Day above all other days. Three, some time is made fit by governor's appointments, such as the hour of public meeting for God's worship and lecture days, and the hour for family worship, which every head of a family may appoint to his own household. Four, some time is made fit by the temper of men's bodies. The morning hours are best to most, but some prefer the evening. And all prefer the time when the body is freest from pain and disabling weaknesses. Five, some time is made fit by the course of our necessary, natural, or civil business. The day is fitter than the sleeping time of night, and that hour is the fittest wherein our other employments will least disturb us. Six, some time is made fit by a special shower of mercy, public or private, when we dwell in godly families, among the most exemplary, helpful company, under the most lively, excellent means, the most faithful pastors, the most profitable teachers, the best masters or parents, and with faithful friends. Seven, some time is made fit by particular acts of providence, a funeral sermon at the death of any near us, or the presence of some able minister or private Christian whose company we cannot ordinarily have, or a special leisure such as the eunuch had to read the scripture in his chariot, Acts chapter 8. And sometime is made specially fit by the special workings of God's Spirit upon the heart, when he more than ordinarily illuminateth, teacheth, and quickeneth, softeneth, humbleth, comforteth, exciteth, or confirmeth. As time in general, so especially these seasons must be particularly improved for their several works. We must take the wind and tide, which we may have when we may have it, and be sure to strike while the iron is hot. Number 9, and I'm looking in vain here for number 8. There is no number 8, so we're skipping from 7 to 9 if you're keeping track. Some time is made fit by others' necessities and the call of God, the time to relieve the poor when they ask or when they are most in want, or help to our neighbor when it will do him most good, to visit the sick, the imprisoned, and the afflicted in the needful season. Thus are the godly like trees planted by the riverside, which bringeth forth fruit in their season. And so it means to speak in season to the ignorant or ungodly for their conversion, or to be sorrowful for their consolation. Number 10. Our own necessity also maketh our seasons. The time of age and sickness is made by necessity the season of our special repentance and preparation for death and judgment. 11. The present time is commonly made our season through the uncertainty of a fitter time or of any more. Proverbs says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. These are our special seasons. Now, to redeem time supposeth, number 1, that we know what we have to do with time, or what we ought to lay it out, and of how great worth the things are for which we must redeem it. 2, that we highly value time in order to this necessary work. 3, that we are sensible of the greatness of our sin and loss in our negligent and willful losing so much as we have done already. 4, that we know the particular season of each duty. 5, and that we set less by all that with which we must part in redeeming time than we do by time itself and its due ends, or else we will not make the bargain. And of those 5 things are presupposed, so these following are contained in our redeeming time. Number 1, to redeem time is to see that we cast none of it away in vain, but use every minute of it as a most precious thing and spend it wholly in the way of duty. 2, that we be not only doing good, but doing the best and greatest good that we're able and have a call to do. 3, that we do not only the best things, but do them in the best manner and in the greatest measure and do as much good as we possibly can. 4, that we watch for special opportunities. 5, that we presently take them when they fall and improve them when we take them. 6, that we part with all that need to be parted with to save our time. 7, and that we forecast the preventing of impediments, the removal of our clogs, and the obtaining of all the helps to expedition and success is duty. This is the true redeeming of our time. The ends and uses that time must be redeemed for are these. 1, in general and ultimately, it must all be for God. Though not all employed directly upon God, in meditating of Him or praying to Him, yet all must be laid out for Him, immediately or mediately, that is, either in serving Him or in preparing for His service, in mowing or in wetting, that's W-H-E-T-T, that's cutting down grass in a field, or sharpening a tool or a weapon. in traveling or in baiting, that is, giving food to horses, to fit us for travel. And so our time of sleeping, feeding, and needful recreation is laid out for God. Number two, time must be redeemed especially for works of public benefit, for the church and state, for the souls of many, especially by magistrates and ministers who have special charge and opportunity, who must spend and be spent for the people's sakes, though rewarded with ingratitude and contempt. For your own souls and your everlasting life, for speedy conversion without delay if you be yet unconverted, for the killing of every soul-endangering sin without delay, for the exercise and increase of young and unconfirmed grace and the growth of knowledge, for the making sure our calling and election, for storing up provisions of faith, hope, love, and comfort against the hour of suffering and of death. Number four, we must redeem time for the souls of every particular person to whom we have opportunity to do good, especially for children, servants, and others whom God hath committed to our trust. Five, for the welfare of our own bodies, that they may be serviceable to our souls. Six, and lastly, for the bodily welfare of others. And this is the order in which those works lie, for which and in which our time must be redeemed. The price that time must be redeemed with is, above all, number one, our utmost diligence, that we be still doing, put forth all our strength, and run as for our lives. And whatever our hand shall find to do, that we do it with our might, remembering that there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither we go. Our sluggish ease is an easy price to be parted with for precious time. To redeem it is not to call back time past, nor to stop time in its hasty passage, nor to procure a long life on earth, but to save it as it passeth, from being devoured and lost by sluggishness and sin. Two, time must be redeemed from the hands and by the loss of sinful pleasures, sports, and revelings, and all that is of itself or by accident unlawful, from wantonness, licentiousness, and vanity. Both these are set together, and that knowing the time, says Romans, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Three, time must be redeemed from things indifferent and lawful at another time, when things necessary do require it. He that should save men's lives, or quench a fire in his house, or provide for his family, or do his master's work, will not be excused if he neglect it by saying that he was about an indifferent or a lawful business. Natural rest and sleep must be parted with for time when necessary things require it. Paul preached until midnight, ready to depart on the morrow. The lamenting church, calling out for prayer, saith, "Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thy heart like water before the face of the Lord." Lamentations 2:19. Clean this lamp. That's a Greek philosopher. I guess we would say Cleanthes' lamp must be used by such whose sunlight must be otherwise employed. Number four, time must be redeemed from worldly business and commodity. Commodity meaning profit or interest, when matters of greater weight and commodity do require it. trades, plow, and profit must stand by when God calls us, by necessity or otherwise, to greater things. Martha should not so much as trouble herself in providing food for Christ and his followers to eat when Christ is offering her food for her soul. She should, with Mary, have been hearing at his feet. Worldlings are thus called by him. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isaiah 55. And 5, time must be redeemed from smaller duties, which in their season must be done, as being no duties when they hinder greater duty that should then take place. It is a duty in its time and place to show respect to neighbors and superiors, to those about us, and to look to our family affairs, but not when we should be at prayer to God, or when a minister should be preaching or at his necessary studies. Private prayer, meditation, and visiting the sick are duties, but not when we should be at church or about any greater duty that they hinder. And we stop abruptly there because the article does. It's from the Practical Works of the Reverend Richard Baxter in Volume 3, pages 120 to 124. All of it available at the Free Grace Broadcaster, the quarterly booklet that comes to you free of charge if you just ask for it. Well, I have a lot of other things on this site that I hope you will find timely and helpful during these days of crisis that we are in, that you will find the time to refresh your own soul, but then to bless many others also. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.